Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley. They bring you the betting insight, laughs, and some rants along the way.
I get like a tweet of like someone's screenshot of how like Rodgers and Adams like won their matchup for them. Like, sorry it didn't work for you, but look at this. How about this?
Oh, that's...
Die.
We'll give you an edge to beat the spread and so much more.
This continues a three-year run of winning a ton of regular season games, best three-year regular season winning percentage we've ever had to start a career. But he also was going to have the MVP on his team. And can the coach of the year and the MVP very likely come from the same team? Now, Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh, I believe, both won MVP and coach of the year a few years ago. So this isn't like an exclusion thing. It's just, it's part of the process, though.
What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet from BetQL.
And some people may be still chugging a little extra coffee, need a little extra caffeine after a game that went late and long into the night, but totally worth it. Ken Barkley's got his coffee right next to him. I just had plenty of caffeine, so hopefully through the 4 hours here, Ken, we can make it through. He's Ken Barkley, Nick Ashew, in for Nick Kostos. Of course, you can stream us on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, the Odyssey app as well. It is there. It is on YouTube. It is all across all the platforms, all the things, Ken Barkley. We will get into college football. The national championship game is done. It is all reaction and looking forward, of course, to next year as well. Early odds as to who may be the national champion. Next season, there is something called the NFL playoffs this week. And I don't know if you know, it's an exciting time.
Playoffs?
I think playoffs tend to get playoffs tend to get just a little juiced about. I do see here on list of things that are Scott Lynn, our producer, has put on here. Djokovic story is far from over, which is great because it broke last time I was on the show with you last week. So that's the last thing I want to do, is spend another hour on somebody being held captive essentially in an airport. But I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen throughout the show? We got 4 hours, so anything is possible. You, sir, I know were one of the few that was all over Georgia. It felt like when I was with the crowd, I admit I was with the crowd on that, and I kept looking, going, why is Alabama not favored? Why is Alabama an underdog? Alabama on the money line, I get plus money. This just makes so much sense to me. I know Vegas must know something I don't know, but there's just, I can't help it. I've got to pick Alabama and the Nick Saban effect and what they did in the SEC championship game. And for a while, it looked like Alabama was getting, you know, the tide was turning in their direction, slight pun intended, just a little bit, not too much though for you there. And you felt that momentum with that, I guess you'd call accidental fumble recovery. And then all of a sudden things turn around again and Georgia exercised the demons and overcame the team that they just have not been able to get past so far.
Yeah, totally agree. Obviously, good to see you again, buddy. And I promise we will talk about Djokovic at some point during the show, because it's just
you were way too excited last week. By the way, you know,
I made a market. I was like minus 700. You were like, I'd lay it. I'd be collecting.
Oh yeah, we do. You're right. We actually do need to do that in the show at some point. We're gonna have to create fake odds for something today again with you. That's the new routine that I'm going to do every time I do the show with you. I don't know what it is yet, but we'll figure it out. We'll come up with something.
It was will Djokovic be let in the continent of Australia? And what will the Washington football team's new name be? Those are the two things that we created markets for last week. We'll try to stumble upon some stuff. I got some other topics kicking around upstairs that we can kind of go through as we go through the show, as we always do when you and I host these midweek shows together, which are really fun and I enjoy doing them. In terms of last night's game, it would be really easy. But first of all, congrats if you're listening and you're a Georgia fan. It's been a long time. Like, people are crying in the stadium. The entire scenes last night. If you had no betting interest in the game, I know you were on Alabama. I've been on. Yeah. Like I'll tell a brief story because I know what that feels like when a team like has this amazing moment, but you're on the opposite side betting wise and you can't appreciate it. Like you're sitting there watching this, being like, yay, Georgia. I bet on Alabama. Right. Like this is atrocious. Right. Tiger Woods won the Masters a couple of years ago, that like amazing Sunday where everyone's watching, it came out a little bit of a different time because of weather. And he ends up obviously winning the green jacket improbably in this return. Everyone is celebrating this moment. Every single person celebrating this moment. Yep. I had a substantial amount of money on Brooks Koepka to win the Masters, and he comes in second and misses an eagle putt on 15 by like a centimeter that probably would have ended up forcing a playoff, maybe if things broke a certain way. And it was like, it was going to be really important for me if Brooks Koepka won that tournament, and everyone on earth celebrating Tiger Woods' green jacket. Koepka even gives him a handshake going into the clubhouse as he wins. Like basically, you know, Koepka, remember, had just won all those majors. It's like, hey man, like, you know, like this is your time. And I'm like, could it have not been his time? That would have been great. Could it have been Brooks's time still? That would have been exceptional. So I know what that's like, watching what should be an amazing sports moment and having it sullied by the side that you bet on. But it's I could take a victory lap here. I loved Georgia in the game. I celebrated heartily their win last night, and the under and the props and everything that went into it, all of which were wins. And that was great. But as much as I would love to say that it was like some foregone conclusion that they were going to win that game or certainty, even though I really strongly felt like that, you and I were just talking off the air, like Jameson Williams doesn't get hurt. Like I really, I don't know. And it's not that Georgia wouldn't have won. It's not that they wouldn't have won handily. I mean, they were played very well in the fourth quarter of that game, conditioning, stamina, all that stuff after the SEC championship that was referenced heavily last night. It all mattered. And they played really well defensively, obviously, in the fourth quarter. They were able to run the ball in the fourth quarter. Like all of those things are great. But, you know, Jameson Williams tears his knee in the middle of the game. And I would love to tell you that was some certainty and I'm a genius and like, look how smart I am. And there's a little part of me that feels like that. But I also understand the permutations of a really, really, really impactful injury and how it affects everything. So it was a great game last night. Really enjoyed it. But I'm not going to be do the like I had to be right. And some people who bet Alabama had to be wrong. Could have played out a different way. Looks like it was going to play out a different way for a lot of that game with Alabama, obviously leading. And then the fumble that you mentioned. So happy to be on the right side of those. And congrats to Georgia, obviously.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those games where clearly it's impacted by one, and really you could argue two injuries. They technically, by the second quarter, were down their top two receivers. Alabama was when it was all said and done. But, you know, this was one of those games where you go into it feeling very confident with Alabama, if you're on my side of this, just because of the past, because of the history that's there. And when you're just trying to think of it, you put trends aside or numbers aside, even you just look at it overall, the history and what Nick Saban has been able to do so many times against Georgia or really anybody else that's in that situation. And we've seen this throughout history of sports, right? There's always one team or one player that just struggles to get past that other team. Peyton Manning for years with the Patriots. Michael Jordan for years with the Pistons early in his career. It goes on and on. I mean, hell, I'm in D.C. Red Sox, Yankees. Yeah. I'm in D.C., man. The Capitals pass the Penguins in the second round of the playoffs. My God, every single year. But I can also relate to, speaking of the Capitals or D.C., I mean, I can relate to Georgia fans. I know what it feels like to have your team, to have your city, in our case, finally break through. And like we were celebrating when the Caps made it to the Eastern Conference Final. That was how desperate we were. And then they won a Stanley Cup, and then we get a World Series not too long after that. So to know what it feels like to have so many letdowns year after year after year, and you put the betting part of this aside, I can think of it from that perspective because I get what Georgia fans were feeling last night and feeling today. When you finally have that moment, you wake up and go, we no longer are cursed. Like you feel like you're cursed. It's frustrating. It's awful. And you get so sick of it. And every year you expect the worst. You're like, well, this is cool. I don't care how good we look during the regular season. We know how this is going to end up when it's all said and done. And that wasn't the case with Georgia this time around. So I can totally understand where they were. The problem is that when you're back in Alabama and it doesn't work out that way, it does kind of, it puts a little bit of a rainy cloud over all the sunshine that's going on with there. So it's a tough emotional balance that you have to deal with after a game like that. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, totally agree with you. And it's funny because you can relate to the like sort of underdog, pun not intended, storyline with Georgia, Stetson Bennett, and they haven't won in a really long time.
You know it was. Stop it.
Well, I generally intend my puns on average, so that's my default setting. So I guess we should just go with that for the rest of the show. Puns at just an asterisk at the bottom of the screen. Puns intended. And and Stetson Bennett, and they haven't won in forever in four decades, and everyone's crying in the stands. And, you know, like I think based on the teams that you root for. And you mentioned some examples that you could relate to that. There was actually a part of me that it could relate to the Alabama experience, not in that like it's a heartbreaking loss for them, but it's actually like not as much of a heartbreaking loss. And there are two examples of kind of what I'm talking about. The ability of Saban to handle that situation that way, not just because he's Nick Saban and he's the greatest coach in sports history, probably of any type of sport.
Right.
Not just because of that, but because like when you win every time, it probably gets easier to look at the guy who used to coach under you and be like, hey man, you kicked our butt in the fourth quarter. Like that's being able to have that transparency and humility, but also understanding that like your place is secure to be able to say that. Like, yeah, I'm sure every loss kills Saban because that's what makes him so good, but it's different than winning your first or your second or being early in your tenure at a specific place or trying to reach the pinnacle of your sport, which he, you know, hadn't reached until he, you know, beat Texas for the first championship and then obviously beats LSU in the rematch in Notre Dame. That's how he built his resume. So, you know, his ability to congratulate Smart kind of speaks to where that program's at and that they're pretty confident they'll be back. And then there was an anecdote, which was incredible. It was shared by, I want to say it was Jason Kirk, a guy who, you know, has written for a number of places, SB Nation, a bunch of stuff. They're part of that cavalcade of people you follow on Twitter that give out college football info that, from those variety of places, overhearing two Alabama fans as they're leaving the stadium and one goes to the other. That wasn't really fun. Where are we playing next year? And the implication is, where is the national title game? And the person that the fan is talking to goes, oh, LA. And they'll be like, oh, that'll be really nice. It's just like the idea right. that they're like already planning the next trip. Like, when's the next trip? When are we going back to the title game? That sense of like, yeah, this like we're going to be back because we're always going to be back as long as we have this coach and as long as this recruiting wheel keeps turning, which it seems like it's going to, obviously. So that sense of, you know, I'm a Patriots fan growing up. I have the least right for the rest of my life to ever complain about the failure of any team that I've ever rooted for because I've had this run of success. And that's kind of part of the deal. Like when they lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, for example, there's a part of me that was like, yeah, that was a crazy game. Like that was pretty wild. Like that was pretty, like there's like the least heartbreaking moment you could possibly fathom probably to have your team in a big spot like that juxtaposed with Eagles fans, a few of which I knew who were at the game where it's like Georgia. Like crying at the end of the game, like this is insane. Yep. Like I can't believe this happened. So there was a part of me that could actually, I know you mentioned you could relate to the Georgia part of it. That's the fun part. The underdog that comes out of nowhere, but the underdog that can't quite get over the hump a number of times and then finally does. I know they were favored in the game. I know they recruited a crazy high level, but like not a lot of people still expected it to happen until it happened. But I could also relate to the Alabama part of it of like sustained run of success, we'll be back, machine, robot, and it's turned the page and on to the next year.
The SEC is just going to continue to dominate college football, though, for a long, long time until Nick Saban retires.
Just means more.
And then you're adding.
Just means more.
Yeah. And look, at some point, you're adding teams like Oklahoma, who won't nearly be as good of a program if you're competing with Alabama and maybe a dynasty now in Georgia. I mean, who knows? This could be the start of something with Georgia where they're now a more legit competitor year in and year out to Alabama. What Nick Saban's been able to create. Look, I don't know how much longer he's going to be there as a head coach. He certainly looked like he's what, 70, which I would guess he's like 55. If you look at him and you don't think he's anywhere near 70, he's somebody right. that you,
I thought Belichick would be gone by now, honestly. Like I really thought we'd be having those conversations and we're not having them yet. Now my guess is when it happens with him, it'll be kind of a surprise, but we're not having those conversations yet. And same with Saban.
Well, think about, you know, Coach K. Coach K just, it kind of came out of nowhere. And you forget, like, this is his last season with Duke.
And now we got to deal with it for a whole season, every single game.
Right. And it becomes the conversation over and over and over again.
Now we're going to lose to Miami outright on Saturday. Yeah, good job, buddy.
You know, I understand people complain about SEC dominance, but the reality of it is there's nothing you can do if you're college football. It's like there was nothing the NBA could do when the Warriors were at their best or when, you know, the Bulls were at their best. You go down the list, the Patriots for two decades, even though the NFL tried to do all kinds of stuff to them when it came to Deflategate and when it came to Spygate and every other stupid gate that we have to add gate to at the end of every controversy, we throw gate to the end of it. But this is what happens when you're in the middle of greatness. I mean, you mentioned Nick Saban is one of the greatest coaches of all time. I say he is. He is the greatest coach in major American sports that we have ever seen.
Sure.
Because
it's
what
he's
been
the conversation.
Able to do, it's not just about success. It's also about consistency. It's about going. And like I throw guys like Greg Popovich into this mix too. He doesn't get enough credit because, you know, you really spent two decades with the San Antonio Spurs allowing that franchise in an era where more and more players were leaving and moving around to have a culture that was built and keep that consistently. You put Bill Belichick clearly in that mix. I mean, really, you'd put Phil Jackson in that mix, really, because he did it with two organizations. But what Nick Saban has been able to do for so long with Alabama. And obviously he's had success, you know, at LSU, but not nearly this success, you know, beforehand. I mean, this is somebody that is going to continue to create dominance every single year where, yeah, Alabama fans just kind of look and go, well, next year we're probably going to be back there again. And that's got to be a great feeling if you're an Alabama fan, but it makes it a whole lot more difficult if you think that anybody else could win the SEC or win a national championship every single season. When you look at those odds, you go, well, where's Alabama first? Because how is that going to affect everything else for me?
Yeah, you totally agree. And yeah, my final thought to close the segment here about Georgia. I know we've spent a lot of time this segment talking about them like an underdog. The reason for that is just their history against Alabama. They beat everybody else and then they don't beat Alabama. So you're going to kind of still be referred to that way. But it's worth noting that they recruit at as high or higher of a level than Alabama. Their coach is obviously a Saban disciple who seems primed to be there for a long time. Their wheel is also, as Bill Connolly from ESPN puts it, their Death Star is operational too, just like Alabama's from a recruiting standpoint where the players are just coming in and coming in and coming in. There's no reason to believe any of this is changing anytime soon. And when you look at some of the underlying metrics, not the teams against each other, which has been all Alabama, but everything else about the two programs, it's tough to tell them apart. It's really tough to tell them apart from a talent standpoint. Anybody who watched that game last night could definitely tell you that. And it'll be curious to see what the next 3 to 5 years look like as maybe Saban moves on eventually. And we'll see what happens with Kirby Smart in Georgia.
And that's one thing we'll do. We're going to look ahead to what this means for the SEC and college football next year. And Bryce Young, could he win another Heisman? Some almost final thoughts from Ken as well on the college football season. Nick Ashew in for Nick Costos. It's You Better You Bet on BetQL.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.